We began preaching a little bit last Sunday from the real King James. Not the one that was butchered and cut up by the Puritans and the American and primarily the British Bible societies. The original King James, the one that included the Apocrypha. Now, either we're here last Sunday, heard me read from your old brother Goodspeed, Edgar J. Goodspeed, world-renowned Bible scholar and translator. Now with all you guys. You getting lazy or? I got D.O. Sammy? That's one of you. Sammy's been my security blanket. I'm going to fall over here. I can't. It'll take him an hour to get to the piano and organ. It was a strange movement. I heard all that goings on, and I thought, what's happening? As I was saying, before I lost my support, the King James included the Apocrypha. It was an integral part of the King James Version of 1611. Now, I'm not going to argue for its re-inclusion. The only reason it was called apocryphal, when the Masoretic and the Hebrew text was uncovered, and we don't know what Hebrew texts were used for the Septuagint version because the great library at Alexandria was destroyed. But the existing Hebrew text did not include the Apocrypha. So the Puritans began to disapprove. And they left it out. American and British Bible societies knocked it out. All I need is the 66 books, though the number makes me aggravated. I would break the Corinthian letter into three or four parts just to avoid 66. I'd break some other books into parts just, if I had to, I'd break Isaiah into first and second. I would break them into parts to just get to 70. I can't believe God ever intended 66 books. I'm not a biblologist, but all I need is those 66 to preach the gospel. But the others provide their own communication, which can be subjected to a ruthless test of the prophet defined in Deuteronomy. The prophet's a prophet if what he says comes true. Now, Esdras is, but as we've said several times, Esdras is but the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Ezra. They're not two different people, two different names, same name, transliterated, as Joshua becomes Jesus. Now, aren't you happy I'm going to start? I might even get to the two little wings today. Did you know that the national bird of Poland is another one of those countries that the eagle is their national bird? It's that member of the vulture family, eagle, not the American
eagle, which is different.
I don't know whether I'll get all the way tonight or not today, but I thought I'd just throw that in. Ezra saw a strange vision. And in the Apocrypha, these were a part of the writings included from Ezra. He saw a vision, and that vision was of a great three-headed eagle. Let me see if I can read it to you again. On the second night that he was sleeping under God's command, and I'm reading from the second book of Ezra, chapter 11. It came to pass on the second night that I had a dream. If I ever print a Bible, this is going back in it with the King James authority. It came to pass on the second night that I had a dream. I think putting this in is a lot more important than pictures of me and my family. In fact, I think about anything more important than pictures of me and my family. Came to pass on the second night that I had a dream, and behold, there came up out of the sea an eagle with 12 feather-covered wings and 3 heads. And I looked, and behold, he spread his wings over the whole earth, and all the winds of heaven blew upon him, and the clouds gathered about him. Well, there's no way that God could be speaking in such strange visions as that. That's a nightmare. Well, John was awake. Let's see what he has to say. Revelation 13. Last book of the Bible. You want to start on the right side and work back. Page 303. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. And upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, that is one of the 7, as it were, wounded to death. Your margin will tell you the correct translation. Receiving the stroke of death, slain. One of the heads wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Beasts have been used again and again by God to describe what's going on in the world. Nebuchadnezzar saw the image with the head of gold, the shoulders and arms of silver. The belly and side, Daniel 2 is the reference, of bronze. It says belly and legs, but it's belly and side. The legs of iron. The feet, 10 toes, clay and iron. Daniel then saw a vision of beasts, in which the head of gold is matched with a beast that rises up as a lion. He sees the shoulders counterpoint in a bear that rises up higher on one side than another. The belly and side of bronze, its counterpoint is the leopard. Then he sees the counterpoint of the legs of iron, a non-descript beast. No description is given. And instead of 10 toes, there are 10 horns. Then he focuses in a later vision, on just 2 beasts. And they change in a different animal as the Grecian Empire comes and conquers the Medo-Persian. In every case, this is the Babylonian Empire The bear is the Medo-Persian. The leopard and the belly and sides, the Grecian Empire. And the nondescript beast with in Nebuchadnezzar's vision, legs of iron, is the Roman Empire. And the ten toes and the ten horns, some restored Roman Empire, consisting of ten kingdoms at the outset. Now in Revelation, you're okay, Dad. Now, those other guys didn't know how to move, but you do. In Revelation, the beast has seven heads with crowns on the heads. When Daniel began to prophesy, the Babylonian Empire was in existence. Nebuchadnezzar sees the vision, and everything flows from Babylon downward. When God gets to the book of Revelation, he goes back two times more. He goes behind the Babylonian Empire to every kingdom that has oppressed God's people and fought God's purposes. The first one being Egypt, that placed them in bondage. The second one being Assyria, that carried the ten tribe kingdom to the north into bondage, and what a lot of people fail to pay attention to, all of Judah, with the exception of Jerusalem. On one occasion, the transcriptions of the Assyrian king, uncovered in the 1800s, tell of over 200,000 citizens of Judah carried off into bondage in one fell swoop. Now again, let me say why I preach. I preach to demonstrate God's control. I preach to demonstrate God's faithfulness to His Word. I preach to demonstrate that the safest ground you can ever stand on, or the safest lever you can ever take a grip on, is God's Word. He's never missed. He never forgets a jot or tittle. And when you see God literally control the courses of the stars, the activities of heathen nations flow within His boundaries, though He doesn't direct every movement. And the streams of history cross the intersections that He predetermines. Then you can walk out of here facing your problems knowing you're in good hands. And as I often say, you don't even need Allstate. God's enough. Now, these seven kingdoms reach back in the book of Revelation. And it's forgotten by some that when Assyria took the ten tribes into bondage, they took Judah into bondage too. The so-called lost tribes include a lot of Jews that were settled in eastern Assyria near the border of the Medes, which is modern Iran. In the revival that built the second temple, that set the stage for the coming of Jesus, less than 100,000 Jews came back from Babylon. And from that less than 100,000 Jews, leaving 600,000 in Babylon, the nation of Jewry developed that were there when Jesus came on the scene. Whether they knew it or not, their primary reason for being was to rebuild the temple, be an instrument for the fulfillment of promises of God and prophecies of God, and to be the people, the lineage of which would have the wondrous fulfillment of prophecy of the righteous branch, the seed of David, the Messiah would be born in the place God had prophesied and fulfill every prophecy in the places that God had prophesied. But they're a minority of the chosen people. 50,000, 60,000, maybe 80,000 outside return and have become the stream of world Jewry that alternately is estimated in the neighborhood of 17 to 18 million in today's world. At least 3 million plus, most likely more, were carried into bondage by Assyria. Now, you could lose 25 or 30,000 people. You don't lose 3-4 million people. They've never been lost in God's eyes. And in this beastly vision of Ezra, we find them again. And we find them rising up as a multitude, recognizing their Messiah in the last days. Now, don't let beasts turn you off. God's been talking that way throughout all of His book. The seven kingdoms of Revelation 13, having seven heads, are these seven kingdoms. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And there will be an eighth, which is Antichrist Himself. They're called mountains in another passage in the book of Revelation. So never confuse. When God is speaking generically, He goes back to Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed His promised people from Abram's day onward are cataloged down to the final expression of conflict with God's purposes, which is Antichrist. Satan has one design. If you can understand that, you can understand why faith is so important. He's not primarily interested in making you unrighteous. God can cover that. God has provided His righteousness as a gift. So Satan doesn't really destroy God's works by making you commit a sin that is falling short of God's grace. He likes to do that too because he's like sin. But it needs to be freshly understood by the church world. Satan does not defeat God when he tempts you to sin, because righteousness has been provided. And even that sin you commit tomorrow was placed in Christ on Calvary, and the price is paid in full. Where Satan defeats God's purpose is when he makes God not have His word carried out and thereby destroys the ground of faith. Every time God's ever uttered a prophecy, Satan has gone to work instantly to thwart it. It bothers some people because the sons of Jacob are so evil. You read the promises and you'll understand why. I feel sorry for those guys. Just as we keep a lot of demons off a lot of the rest of the Christian world, so did the sons of Jacob. Satan doesn't have unlimited resources. Now, I've done my share of teaching on those old pups and those old rascals in the Old Testament. But I have an idea they had maximum demon offensive working on them. Because the minute God declares a promise, here comes Satan to make God's word fail. But he's a loser. He's a loser. That mysterious passage in the Old Testament of those sons of God coming down and cohabitating with the women of this earth, that's got a simple explanation. Satan wanted to corrupt the seed of women, because God had said the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And had he had his way, the Messiah would have sprung from contaminated mixture in the lineage of man. But God had a family. And I feel sorry for old Noah. The whole world rested on him. I've wanted to get drunk with just little things resting on me. The whole world rested on his shoulder. Shem and Japheth had the right idea. Let him have a real binge and cover him up. Get a little sympathy for the battle of faith. All of God's work rests on you. God can take, or the Satan can take all the demons off everybody else because they don't matter anymore in his real battle. His real battle is destroy faith, destroy God's faithfulness, make God's word void, wipe out Noah and his family. And God's not in control, his word not faithful. When we understand that faith and only faith brings salvation. That's not a siren, that's a motorized wheelchair running. So relax, everybody. You ought to fix that machine. Ushers, get some oil on it before you let it in here again. Or put it in a PP roll. I've been fought with the devil enough. When I hear sirens, I start looking around. God wants to destroy faith. But I preach for one reason, to show God won every round. He doesn't just win the battle. He doesn't just win the fight. He's won every round. When he says it, God's not a man to lie. Well, I know. FCC sits up there and conceives plans to shut me up. They'll lose. What if something happened to you? No man can touch me till God's ready. We're in the business of proclaiming truth. All that was introduction to say beasts are rather normal way in which God communicates. That's why I've been using them. Got that, didn't you? Well, now, God would never talk that way. Do you know how attractive a monkey is alongside this three-headed eagle? You know how attractive a monkey is alongside this monster? In Revelation 13, feet like a leopard. Well, look, the beast was like a leopard. Feet like a bear. Mouth like a lion. You say, well, why don't you get a meaner-looking beast to imitate some of those bureaucrats you've been imitating? Because they're the peanut gallery. I mean, they're still small time. They're just embryos of the real enemy that will come. Well, aren't you sometimes hard on preachers? Not half as hard as Jesus was. As he spoke through his servant John, he called the false prophet a beast, too. Beast! Beast!
Rufus Glitterteeth is not near as tough as Beast. You know, I'd like to preach this message, but I find myself so entertaining on those subjects, I want to just stay there for a while. I really like that subject. Came to pass on the second night, I had a dream, and behold, there came up out of the sea an eagle with 12 feather-covered wings and 3 heads. Came up out of the sea, always the symbol of people. I looked, and behold, he spread his wings over the whole earth. And all the winds of heaven blew upon him, and the clouds gathered about him. And I looked, and out of his wings grew additional wings, and they became small, dwarfish wings. But his heads were resting. The middle head was greater than the other heads, but it was resting like them. And I looked, and behold, the eagle flew with his wings to reign over the earth and over those who live on it. And I saw that everything under heaven was subject to him. No one opposed him, nor any creature that was on the earth. And I looked, and behold, the eagle rose upon his talons and uttered his voice to his wings, saying, "Do not watch all at once. Do not all watch at once. Sleep each in his own place. Watch by turns. But let the heads be reserved for the last." And I looked, and behold, the voice did not come from his heads, but from the midst of his body. The real source of direction is not going to be apparent. The real head is not the head you see. The real control is not the head. Remember that? The voice from the midst. I got to preach 3 sermons on that. I may get it started today. Voice from the midst. Now, where and where? Just to make sure that everybody understands me. Where and where is the midst? I counted his additional wings, and behold, there were 8 of them. Now look, behold, on the right side, one wing rose and reigned over the whole earth. Came to pass after it had rained, it came to an end and disappeared, so that even the place where it had been couldn't be seen. Then the second arose and reigned, it ruled a long time, and it came to pass after it had rained that it also came to an end, so that it disappeared like the first. Now behold, the voice was heard. And behold, a voice was heard saying to it, "Listen, you who have ruled the earth so long, I make this proclamation to you before you begin to disappear. No one after you will rule as long as you have ruled, or even half as long." Then the third wing raised itself up, ruled like the former ones, and it also disappeared. So it fell to all the wings, one by one, to be emperor. And then to disappear again. I looked, and behold, in due time, the additional wings on the right side raised themselves up in order to be emperors. There were some of them who succeeded, but immediately disappeared. Some of them raised themselves up, but didn't remain emperor. Afterward, I looked, and behold, the 12 wings and 2 little wings disappeared. Nothing was left on the eagle's body except the 3 heads that were resting and 6 little wings. And I looked, and behold, from the 6 little wings. Now, I've already preached on this twice. So you know we're talking about what the interpreter will tell Ezra. That Daniel saw a nondescript beast and never had it explained to him like the others. The lion didn't need much explaining because he was living in the midst of that. The bear and the leopard get a spotlight turned on them and a magnifying glass and a separate vision of the ram and the goat. The one that never got detailed was this nondescript beast. And this vision by Ezra is interpreted by God in this book as the details regarding this nondescript beast. As it grows, emperor after emperor. These are kingdoms. I looked, and behold, from the 6 little wings, 2 separated and stayed under the head that was on the right side. Now, this will be interpreted in a moment by the interpreter. That beast that is the Roman Empire not only will one day turn into 10 toes, a confederation of clay and iron, and 10 horns, not only as prophesied in Daniel's visions, will there come up a little horn, uprooting some of the 10 horns, and have given to him the kingdom, which is the 10-toed kingdom given to him, before he then becomes Antichrist, possessed of Satan, or Satan's demon assigned for that task. In between the 10 horns and the Roman stomping legs of iron beast that conquers Greece and rules at the time that Jesus is on the scene, Ezra now sees that history in between and additional details to the end. This Roman Empire facing north will break into 3 heads. To the right, Byzantium, that is taken over when Byzantium falls to the Turkish impact and moves northward and Caesar becomes Tsar of Russia. The head will move westward and become the Austro-Prussian expression, the Kaiser, German for Caesar, and Rome in center, headed by an amalgam between the church and the state, called the Holy Roman Empire, will be in the middle. And this nondescript beast, the three-headed eagle, with many wings representing emperors, that three-headed eagle will break into 3 parts, with Russia on the east, Austro-Prussian Kaisers on the west, the remnant of the Holy Roman Empire, center stage. The 2 little wings that separate from the 6 stay under the head that was on the right side. So these wings, you don't have to worry about them. And you don't have to look to find them in Western Europe. They're going to be some little countries separated by national impulse and the old feudal concept of family rulers begin to change in the breakup that preceded the First World War into nationalism. 2 wings will be under that eastern head. Tsarist Russia that became communism. I looked, and behold, these 4 additional wings planned to raise themselves up and be emperors. I looked, and behold, 1 raised itself up and immediately disappeared. The 2nd, it disappeared. Am I boring you? Right now, I don't care. I want to finish. It disappeared more quickly than the 1st. And I looked, and behold, the 2 that were left also planned to reign. But while they were planning it, behold, 1 of the resting heads that was in the middle awoke, for it was greater than the other 2 heads. And I saw how the 2 heads were united with it, and behold, the head turned with the ones that were with it, and it ate up the additional wings which planned to reign. Moreover, this head made itself master of the whole earth and ruled very oppressively over its inhabitants. It had more power over the world than all the wings that had gone before. Afterward, I looked, and behold, the middle head suddenly disappeared, just as the wings had done. You know, this would scare you, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd wake up in a cold sweat. I mean, this is quite a dream. I looked, and behold, the middle head suddenly disappeared. I mean, here's a multi-winged, multi-headed eagle eating itself. But the 2 heads remained. They also reigned over the earth and over its inhabitants. I looked, and behold, the head on the right side ate up the 1 on the left. God have mercy. Then I heard a voice saying to me, "Look before you and think about what you see. How could I keep from it?" And I looked, and behold, what seemed to be a lion rose out of the forest roaring. You see, no matter where you turn in God's book, he's going to win. And I heard how he uttered a man's voice to the eagle and spoke, saying, "Listen, I'll speak to you. The Most High says to you, are you not all that is left of the four animals that I made to reign in my world, so that through them the end of my times might come?" God in the Old Testament, Isaiah, speaks about the Assyrian that God used as his axe and hatchet. And he speaks of that Assyrian, the type of Antichrist, and in fact, Antichrist will come from his territory, boasting of what he's accomplished as God uses him to punish the children of Israel. God says to him, "Shall the axe talk back to the one who wields it?" These idiots, in their glut for power, think they're in charge. Do you know what's going to happen to some of the government bureaucrats that are setting the stage for Antichrist? They're going to fry. Fry! In fact, I've made up my mind, that thought's so delicious, I'm going to fix my own breakfast tomorrow and fry bacon just to watch it. I'm going to get myself 3 strips of bacon and cut them up to spell F-C-C. Back, all of you, let's just have a fried bacon day tomorrow. I mean, some people don't even know how to be spiritual, I'm telling you. I mean, that's an act of faith. Just cut it up in F-C-C. And stand right there and fry. Burn it! And if that doesn't bless you, you ain't capable of being blessed. God will forgive you if you dance in the Spirit in your kitchen. Now, a lot of people will never dance in the Spirit unless the television cameras are on them. They think the Spirit suffers a great loneliness complex. I keep trying to preach this message and other things interfere. You are the fourth to come. You conquered all the animals that are past. You've held the world in subjection and terror. The whole earth with harsh oppression. You've lived so long in the world with deceit. You've not judged the earth with truth. You've persecuted the meek and hurt the peaceable. You've hated those who tell the truth and love liars. How did the FCC get into this book? You've destroyed the dwellings of the fruitful. Turned off their transmitters. Torn down the walls of those who did you no harm. That's what they tried to do. In our case, we punched their long nose when it came through a crack in the wall. But this guy is going to get away with it when we're gone. Your insolence has reached the Most High, and your pride the Mighty. Man, this is blessing me. I don't even care about preaching. Just reading it makes me happy. You know, this is what's going to happen to Antichrist and his cohorts. Don't you love them? I hate them. You hate them with a passion. Don't you want them saved? No. Well, don't you believe some of them can get saved? They won't stay there long if they do. They'll be kicked out. Believe you me, I know what I'm talking about. You say, well, the Federal Trade Commission may be powerful. Doesn't control the thinking of mankind. Federal Trade Commission can work every regulation it has and never affect me if I don't want to be affected. Well, Interstate Commerce Commission's powerful, isn't it? Sure is. It'll feed the coffers of Antichrist. How about the Highway Commission? Heck, I can walk. When will this world wake up to the fact Satan never had an instrument he can use to his purposes like the FCC? Federal Communications Commission. Now we're right down to truth. We're right down to the way the prince of the power of the air shapes minds. We are to that media of communication where a whole generation is being raised up. Television's affecting them more than their schools they go to. Television's affecting them more than the churches they go to. Television's affecting them more than the peers they run around with. Television is shaping a generation. And those damnable beasts control it. And will not let anybody on it except those who bow to them. Satan is subtle. Satan has a battle plan. You see, property rights were among the most important things to be protected in this land when this land was formed. And they used to recognize that when the surface of the land is bought, there are some rights that go down. Interestingly enough, our nation recognizes airspace goes up. And another nation better not violate it. But without anybody knowing it, the state took over the horizontal airspace within the boundaries. And that agency of Satan, which is earthly government, the prince of the power of the air, has a government control over what you can see and hear by television. I have become so forthright, effective, and truthful, and beyond the ability for them to brand me with some false charge because they've tried it, and we've stood the test, I must now be blacklisted. Oh, no station will ever be told you can't have Gene Scott on your station. They'll just do to that station what air traffic controllers can do to any airport in America. Just pay so much attention to the impossible weight of regulations that that poor station will go out of business. It will come up. Do you know how long you could stay in business if the IRS audited you every year and every month and every week? That power over every station will blacklist a voice. If you don't think Jim Baker is going to have trouble now that he's speaking out, just watch him disappear off of a few stations. But he has a satellite. And we have a satellite. And we ought to be yelling from both satellites. He ought to be yelling from ours and ought to be yelling from his. I want the world to understand if it gets me off of every station in the world. I want you to know, I'm like Jeremiah. They can't get me off KHUF FM for at least another 5 years. And we've learned enough but it may take them longer this time. I don't think they'll let us sell Hartford if we wanted to. That's all right with me. I'll be there in that damn Yankee land converting a few of them, and if I get those stiff-necked descendants of Ishmael straightened out, they can just about whip the whole country. They're the ones that got the Apocrypha out of the Bible. Those Puritans. Get them straightened out. I'll be in Hartford 7, 8, 10 years. Relax back there. You got me like an old Olympic till Jesus comes. San Francisco. FCC really wants to protect the public against abuse. One of those that I fired because of connections to the policies that made 580 families have their life inheritance wasted and illegally used, is one of those being considered for management on one of the applicants in Channel 38. I mean, where was the FCC when $3.5 million borrowed from innocent creditors? See, some of those that exist today aren't so innocent. Attorneys and heirs who didn't know what was going on. With 580 innocent creditors loaned $3,400,000 plus to this church. Where was the FCC when that money was improperly spent? Now, money is given to this church now with the clear understanding the pastor has the right of discretion to apply it as the Lord leads. That's not a trust, other than the trust that I will seek the Lord's guidance and apply it as the Lord needs or leads. 98% of the money that is given is designated to my ministry, which means as long as it's being spent for my personal and ministry expense to keep me teaching God's Word, it's being spent for what you give it for, right or wrong, right? I haven't borrowed money from anybody with a trust. I came to organize this church to pay that trust back. But the FCC would give it to an organization having management related to that very activity and activators who misspent that $3.5 million. Wouldn't it be nice for the FCC to give freely to someone who was around in misspending times under the guise of protecting the public against fraud? They're hypocritical liars. They don't care if I steal you blind. It just makes them feel more comfortable in the fact they do it every day. They don't care. The government loves power. They don't care about you being robbed. They don't care at all. They want brownie points so they can advance in civil service. There's not a person in Washington that cares about your money being misused. They've made us spend $70,000 a month to fight their lies for the last 5 years. They've probably spent $2 to $3 million of your tax dollars trying to put this church on its knees. They know we never ever misuse money. Even those dumb stoops know that fountain's out there.
Boy, I'd like to show them.
Those jackasses won't think twice or lose a moment's sleep if every trust store in this church went bankrupt.
One of our trust stores sued one of the applicants on Channel 38, filed an intervener saying, I don't think someone who was here when the debt was created and who knows if we lose Channel 38, that's $5 to $7 million of this church's assets that are gone, which said assets would pay off the debt. I don't think someone who was related to this church when the debt was created that would participate in snatching from this church the assets to pay those debtors before they're paid has the character qualifications to be a licensee if we apply the test you've been applying to this church. That same trustor also said, another one of your applicants sued and effectively prevented a sale of Hartford for $5 million cash, which said $5 million would have paid all the trustors and innocent creditors. And the reason they gave for suing under oath, if Hartford is sold and $5 million comes in, that will go into the coffers of Faith Center and make Faith Center stronger so they can fight harder to keep their license in San Francisco, which we want, the one who was filing the lawsuit. Even the FCC had the brains to say, we can't stop Faith Center from getting money, though they tried. So our trustor sued saying, there's a public policy to never ignore innocent creditors in assignment of license. And I want to intervene and ask the question of some of your applicants, do they really want public policy, and are they prepared to think of the innocent creditors? The FCC denied that intervention, saying, you can't add anything. What's the point? They don't care about your money. They don't care at all. They want a voice and a people that will not bow. Moved out. Well, all they did was move us up. Sounding rationales. Well, the lion named them. That's what got me started on this. Intelligent people can figure out we're paying the debt. We control the purpose of the money that's given at the source. We don't want your money if you put strings on it. We don't raise money for projects. Now, last week,
representatives of Mervyn Dimley's office met with representatives of the FCC. Oh, Dizzy Dick. I mean, with a name like that, you can only be represented by a beast. No, I don't love them. I hate them. Some people will spend the whole tribulation praying for Antichrist to get saved. They'll even take his mark to keep the door of grace open so they can witness to him. Jackasses. I hate them! I really do. Do you know I hate them? Well, preachers aren't supposed to hate. Well, I preach, and I do. I hate them! You sure are shaky on that today. I haven't delivered some of you from your traditions yet. Which is worse? To lie or hate? Well, why don't you preach on love? What do you think I'm doing? Somebody comes in to rape your daughter, you're going to throw your arms around him or stomp him good because you love your daughter? Aren't you worried about going to hell for that? Not really. But if that takes me to hell, it's the best dang reason I've ever found for going there. I hate them. The lion hates them too. I'm trying to preach this message. I'll get to it. Fry that bacon! I mean, if you're a big eater, put some more up across. I hate HATEFCC and fry! Robbers of your children's minds! Purveyors of truth! They rob you of truth. Embracers of violence, sex, idiocy, corruption. Using an abstract public that can never be located. We beg for a public hearing. They're scared to death of one. Some 3,000 people, when they heard we were going to have a hearing, wrote in. Said they want to be a witness. We'll call you. We don't need you at this time. Only people who were on record under oath saying the exact opposite of what they were now going to testify to. That's the only people they wanted to talk to. Right here it is. The FCC met last. Thought I forgot, didn't I? Oh, Dizzy Dick. They said they had to have the broad powers, which included the names and addresses of donors, so that they could go to those donors and ask you if you really understood that your money was being misspent, or if you really understood the purposes for which you were giving. Now, come on, let me have a little hatred, folks. You poor dummies must have somebody visit you 2-1. To harass some poor little shut-in that's earning Social Security that they paid for. To intimidate you and tell you lies on your preacher. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I hate them! Love their souls. Damn their souls. You guys think that's awful? Well, there are not many here that think it's awful. You see, I decided a long time ago, I'm quite willing to go to hell to save this church, if necessary. But I'm coming to a conviction out of God's Word. I ain't even close to going to hell. Well, I'll tell you this. If you help me, there'll be a few bureaucrats go to hell with sore rear ends. I have a heart preaching like this. About time. There's a war going on. And the losers don't even know the war is going on.
Yeah.
They're worrying about old Watts messing up the environment.
The FCC is the most insidious instrument of Satan ever to be conceived on the face of this earth since Hitler. And if Channel 56 takes me off the air for saying that, I will sue them till Jesus comes for a conspiracy to deprive me of my rights to redress government. I would buy, beg, sell, do anything that's legal to get myself a dish. I'd tell my kids I don't ever want them to visit me. I don't ever want to hear from them again. I'd tell all my relatives, you either get together and get me a dish, or you will take care of an insane person till you die. I will have a free voice I can hear. You have persecuted the meek, lions still talking, and hurt the peaceable. You have hated those who tell the truth and love liars. You've destroyed the dwellings of the fruitful and torn down the walls of those who did you no harm. And your insolence has reached the Most High and your pride the Mighty One. And the Most High has looked at His times.
He checked his calendar. That's what old Hezekiah said years ago. He went into a watchtower and he said, "How long? How long, O God, will you put up with these unrighteous who prosper in their ways while your faithful ones are persecuted?" By the way, he didn't say love those rats either. There's a condition to getting an answer from God. He said they make me sick, and it ought to make you sick. Now what are you going to do about it, God? He went to his watchtower. "I'm going to stay there till I get an answer." And God gave him one. He just stretched out the binoculars of time. And he showed that the time would come when God would stomp to smithereens that crowd. See, God didn't love them much either. See, God chosen a few people from the foundations of the earth. And in this sense, the old Puritan concept, I'll borrow from it today. "By their works you shall know them." And the FCC is going to hell. And it's my job to separate from them. Lord, the Most High looked at his calendar and he said, "Go." Habakkuk it was. They're going to get it. "My righteous will endure forever." There's a time coming. He said all of a sudden when he put it in perspective, "Though the tree fail and be no foal in the barn, everything go wrong, yet I will joy in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." God looks at his calendar here. And behold, his time had ended. Behold, they're ended. His ages are completed. "Therefore you will surely disappear, you eagle, and your dreadful wings," including that peanut feather CC. "Your dreadful wings and your wicked additional wings and your malignant heads." Oh, he loves them. He loves them. That's the way, it's God talking. "Your malignant heads." Boy, I like the sound of that. "Your malignant heads." Hey, let's practice that. Your malignant heads. In fact, next time a bureaucrat writes you, address, "Dear malignant heads." "Your malignant heads." I can get blessed about that one. "Your malignant heads, your cruel talons, your whole worthless body." All right. Boy, is that a good one? "Your whole worthless body." That includes their stinking asteroid, too. You know that? Boy, that will make you feel good, won't it? "Your whole worthless body. So that the whole earth may be freed from your violence and be refreshed." Boy, this old boy's a good preacher. I don't even have to do much with it. Just read it. Never going to get to those two little wings. The text is too good. "Be refreshed and relieved. And hope for the justice and mercy of him who made her the church triumphant." We made it through 1983. You better put me on that satellite and keep me there. "Came to pass while the lion was saying these words to the eagle that I looked," and I think that lion hates this eagle. Doesn't sound like it? "Your whole worthless body." Put that in your next pleading, Ken. Put it right in there. "Your whole worthless body." Poopy. I looked, and behold, the head that had been left disappeared. And the two wings which had gone over to it lifted themselves up to reign. Those are the two wings we haven't got to yet. And their reign was short and full of uproar. And I looked. Behold, they also disappeared. The whole damn bunch is going to get it. The whole bunch is going to get it. Man, I wish I had 5 hours. Do you have any idea what I could do with this if I had some time?
Yeah.
And the whole body, the whole worthless body of the eagle was burned. Woo! And the earth was panic-stricken. And because of great disturbance of mind, great fear, I awoke and said to my spirit, "What in the hell does this mean?" And he said to me, "This is the meaning of this vision that you have seen." And that's what I take up next Sunday. Stand, everybody. Now listen, I got a new saying for us. Your malignant heads. Can you say it with me? We made it. Come on. We made it through 1983. Change places quick. Don't you miss that. Yay, 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 yay. Make them say it with you, Sammy. How many believe we're going through? Well, I need 200,000. How many still believe we're going through? We made it. I'll be looking at you at 2 o'clock. You'll be somewhere listening at least.